Well, our time is slipping away, but let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day.
I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like Jesus.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, what a thrill is ours to be a part of your remnant church. Oh Lord, as we come into your presence just now, I'm asking that you'd be with me and help me as I bring this message. Bless our people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I am going to begin a subject this morning that is probably needed more in the church today than any other subject we could speak about. It is the subject of guarding our mind.
Amen. Good.
My subject this morning is the battle for the mind. This is a 9-part series. The battle for the mind. Let's begin by opening our Bibles again to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And I'm going to start. Well, let me just review with you what was read. But before I begin, I need to ask, where's Vince today? Not feeling well this morning. Well, I miss him. Tell him that we'll keep him in our prayers. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The only entrance that Satan and his angels have into your personality, into your emotions, into your thoughts, is through your mind. Satan knows exactly what organs to excite, what to animate, what to engross. He knows how to charm our minds so that Christ is not desired. Everything that goes on in the life goes through your mind. I mean everything. Once you can understand this and comprehend it, then you will realize that you have only to guard this one door to the enemy.
Amen.
The doorway to your mind. It is only then that you can have real peace and that you can have victory as we walk the Christian walk.
Yeah.
Let me explain. Everything starts with a thought. Be it obedience or disobedience. Be it goodness and love and wanting to do that which is right to your fellow man. Or it could be adultery, divorce, envy, jealousy. being critical. It all starts with a thought that is planted in your mind. Your mind, you see, is the leader or the forerunner of all your actions and all of your thoughts. The mind is really the devil's playground, and it is also the devil's battleground. The devil knows, the enemy knows, that if he can keep us, if he can affect our thoughts, he knows that he can keep us in bondage, he can keep us in prison, in captivity, for a month, for a year, and some people for a whole lifetime. You must understand that your mind is the bullseye or Satan's target. That's what he is shooting for. If he can control your mind, he controls your actions, he controls you. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." You cannot live a positive life with a negative mind. And many times the problems that we face are created from wrong thinking patterns that actually produce the problems that we deal with in the life as we travel down the highway. The first thing that we need to know and understand that is that we are at war. And this battle that we're fighting is with an unseen enemy. Ephesians 6 verses 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our fight is not against any physical opponent. That would be easy. But our fight is against the various powers of evil, against spiritual agents from the very headquarters of the devil himself. Yeah. Church, we are in an intergalactic battle, and it's with an enemy that we can't see, but we don't have to look too far to see the evidence of the work that the devil does. So the first thing we want to know, who is the enemy? I want to know who I am fighting with. I want to know what his weaknesses are, what I can do that I might defeat him. Ezekiel 28:13-17 talks about Satan when he was in heaven. It says that he was perfect in beauty, he was full of wisdom, and the Bible says, because of pride, he exalted himself up above God. In fact, he coveted God's position. The Bible further states how God cast Satan out of heaven in Revelation 12:7-9, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. O Lord, have mercy on us." Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible tells us that Satan is God in this world. That Satan is the God of this world. Listen to this. "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." The scripture also clearly states, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." 1 Peter 5:12. So the Bible makes it clear that Satan is our enemy. He was cast out of heaven. He was full of wisdom and beauty, but God cast him out. And it is very clear that we are living in enemy territory. He is the God of this world. Some of you say, Pastor Al, that sounds like something someone made up. It sounds like a fairy tale. It's like a dream I had some weeks ago after eating too much pizza late at night. But folks, whether you believe it or not, it is the truth. You are in a battle, and the devil will knock you down, and he doesn't care. That's why the Bible tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, to put on the whole armor of God. 1 Peter 5:12 and Ephesians 6 verse 12. Now notice Ephesians says, put on the armor of God. Why? Because there is a battle that is going on around us. We can't ignore it just because we can't see it. It is still happening. It's called the great controversy, the controversy between good and evil. And it amazes me that people in 2007 still don't believe in the devil and his demon forces. But folks, you don't have to look far in this world to realize that there is an evil influence at work. You only have to watch the nightly news to know that the carnal spirit is wreaking havoc with mankind. The second thing we need to know is what kind of tactics does the devil use? What kind of weapons does he have? The scripture makes it plain. Jesus, speaking in John 8:44, says this about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Yes. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So I would like to submit to you that Satan's number one weapon in this great battle is lying to you. Has he ever lied to any of you? Certainly, he's lied to all of us. I want to help you understand that this war that's raging around us, we can't see it. But I want to tell you that this enemy is real. That he was cast out to this earth, and his number one weapon is lying. His number one weapon is deception. So where does the battle actually take place? It takes place in our minds. And the devil is so clever about this, we don't even realize that the battle is raging. That's why I said earlier, we have to guard the doorway to our minds. It is only then that you can defeat the enemy and become all that God wants you to be. Amen. You've got to guard your mind. The Bible is very clear. It says, don't give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 7 says, give no place to the devil. What does that mean? Don't give him a place in your house. Don't give him a place in your at work or in your car. Don't give him a place in your mind. Don't listen to his lies that he brings to you. Don't listen to his evil, negative thoughts that come into your mind. You've got to be able to cast them away. You've got to be able to get rid of these evil thoughts. We ought to know the devil's schemes, his strategies, and his tactics. We must know the enemy. It would be very foolish for a country or soldiers to go out to do battle with an enemy that they doesn't know. Not to know the enemy, not to know a strategy, not to know what weapons he is using. It would be very foolish to go out and fight an enemy like this. Now, folks, I don't want to brag about the devil. But Ezekiel 28 says that he is full of wisdom and that he is perfect in beauty, and he's had 6,000 years now to perfect this. Don't think for a minute that when he got kicked out of heaven that he lost all his wisdom. The devil is smarter than any of us give him credit for. Satan is a master deceiver. He has deceived people for years. He deceived 1/3 of the angels in heaven. They were defeated and thrown out. He deceived Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Just think of it. From the Creator's hand, Adam stood there in perfection in his manhood. But the devil deceived them. He's a cunning individual. He's very clever. And he meticulously plants thoughts and fears and suspicions and doubts in your mind. He plants these seeds, these thoughts, and then he watches to see what we are going to do with them. If we accept these thoughts and begin to fondle them in our mind, he leaves, you see, with a smile on his face. And you can be sure that he's going to be back just a little bit later. The devil will take you farther away from God's ideal for your life than you could even possibly think. And some of us are very much aware of what the devil has done to us. The devil has been working on human nature for thousands of years. He has been experimenting. He may not be able to read our thoughts, but he watches our facial expressions. He watches our body language. He knows exactly what thoughts to plant, what temptations to bring to cause us to leave God and follow him. He's a very experienced deceiver. I don't say this to scare you, but I want you to be fully informed. God's power is much greater than the power of the enemy. I know this because the Bible tells me so. Yeah. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We've got to learn to lay hold of God's promises if we are going to defeat this enemy. We need to know how he works, and then we can defeat him. What is deception? Deception is something that deceives you to cloud your focus to get you off track. Yes. Satan doesn't just come to those who are ignorant. He comes to the followers of Jesus also, and he attacks you when you are at your weakest point, and especially at the time of greatest need. From our Sabbath school lesson this week, when I look at the story of Job and Mrs. Job, folks, is a heart-rendering story about a family. 10 children were wiped out. Job lost everything. But it wasn't Job just lost everything. Mrs. Job lost everything also. She lost her 10 kids. Her heart was hurting every bit as much as what Job's was. But the devil comes. When she was the weakest, he planted thoughts in her mind, and she had the audacity to say, now, whether it was out of mercy, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe she loved her husband so much that she would rather see him dead than go through any more of what he had to deal with. So she says, either at a jest, like the Sabbath school lesson suggests, curse God and die. But I like to think it was in the context of blessing God and dying. Oh, the devil comes to you, especially at your time of greatest need. He knows this. The devil knows all about you, and don't let this scare you, because he knows your fears, he knows your insecurities, he knows your weakness, and that's the time that he is going to attack you. Think about this. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he had fasted for 40 days, that's when Satan came to Jesus and tempted him. Do you remember that first temptation? Folks, he was for 40 days, he was hungry, and Satan comes to him and said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Matthew 4:3. And you know how Jesus answered him. And we have to do it the same way. And that's why I encourage you every day, study your Bibles. Study your Sabbath school lesson. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And what was true then is true today. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The devil will attack us at our weakest point and in our greatest need. We have to be on guard, guarding that door. Give no place to the devil in your mind. Church, the devil is willing to invest any amount of time it takes to defeat you. And one of his strongest assets is patience. His goal is to set up strongholds in your mind. Now, what are strongholds? The Bible speaks about strongholds. Strongholds are erroneous thinking patterns that is contrary to God's word. And these strongholds will hold you back. They will hold you into captivity. They will send you into bondage. They will keep you from being all that God wants you to be. That is a stronghold. That is the devil's goal. And all you got to do is look at ancient Israel and see what happened to them when erroneous thinking came into their minds. They began to worship rivers and birds and put up, made idols. The devil led them into captivity. And you know the problems that Israel had to deal with. But God was standing there wanting to bless them. But because of wrong thoughts, because their minds, they had strongholds set up, God couldn't do anything for them. Church, we've got to examine our lives. We've got to make sure that we don't have strongholds in them. We need to cast them down. We can get rid of this erroneous thinking. In Micah 5, verses 11 through 14, God says, "I will cut off your cities. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. I will cut off your sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. You shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst. Thus I will destroy your cities." All of this happened to Israel because of some false teachings, some false understanding. Don't you see why it is important to guard the doorway to our mind? Folks, there's all kind of theological trivia that's floating around out there, even in our own midst. Just don't swallow these things. Put it to the test. Yeah. To the law and to the testimony. If it's not according to this word, there's no light in it. Strongholds, they start from one thought, and it all comes through our mind. It begins with a thought. Let me show you how Satan works. Let's take the example of a husband and wife, and it could go either way. Satan comes and plants a thought in her mind. Now, I said it could be the husband that he's tempting, but I'm going to use the woman. Satan comes and plants a thought in her mind. He says, "You know, your husband really doesn't appreciate you. He takes you for granted far too much." Do you know what? He plants that thought in her mind, and then he steps back and he's going to look at you to see what you are going to do with it. He can read your facial expressions. He can see your body language. Are you going to listen to him, or are you going to cast it down and say, no, it is written. You should cling to your husband. If you listen to him, it won't be long until he sees that you have totally digested it, and then he brings you another thought. It may be a week, it may be 6 months, it might be a year. Now notice, folks, the devil is not in a hurry. But he will give you one thought after another until the marriage is destroyed. He comes and he says, not only does your husband not appreciate you, not only does he take you for granted, but he really doesn't love you anymore. You see, he takes us step by step, ever so slowly. And if you believe him, do you know what will happen? All of a sudden, your attitude, your emotions are affected, your personality is affected, and it's all based on Satan's lies. One evening, your husband walks in from work, and you don't greet him. Instead, you say, what in the world is the matter with that man? Look at what he's wearing. Look at the gut of him. All he does is sit on the couch and eat potato chips. He's not the man I married. You see, the devil, he will try to get you to see everything that is negative about your spouse, and now in your mind, you are blaming him or her for what is wrong in the marriage. You have come to that decision based on the lies of the devil. Satan will try to make you believe that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but my Donna says it may look greener, but it's still got to be mowed. The devil is a master deceiver. But I want you to know that we have a choice in the decisions that we make. We can entertain and accept those thoughts and they will grow, or we can cast them down and they will die. We can stand on it. Thus saith the Lord. What God had put together, let no man put asunder. Folks, you've got to remember that this battle is going on in our minds. And the devil's main tool is lying to us. Do not make a decision based on the lies of the devil. We must guard our minds. He is a deceiver, and he will make you believe that it is better somewhere else. But my Bible tells me that we can overcome. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Church, our weapons are not natural. They are supernatural weapons. They are mighty through God. And we have a whole arsenal of weapons that we can use against the devil. The Bible says that we can pull down these strongholds. Do you believe it? Amen? You can do it. You must be sober. You must be vigilant. You need to come to church. You need to study God's Word. We have to live godly lives. These are things that I have to do. It's not accept Jesus and then live like the rest of the world. We have got to live like Jesus. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. When these thoughts come to you, you can cast them down, and we have four main weapons that are more powerful than all the weapons the devil would use. The first weapon that we have against the devil is we have the Word of God. And if the devil had his way, we would never open the book. Folks, we would sit on the coffee table and we would dust it every week. But we would spend our time watching the television or listening to the radio or playing on the computer. When Satan gives you a thought, replace that thought with the Word of God. The second weapon that we have is the name of Jesus. And at calling upon that name, every knee shall bow. That's a powerful weapon, isn't it? Number three, you have the power of prayer. Oh, folks, prayer can move mountains. Mountains. Oh, I'm so excited. You know, just a couple of weeks ago on vacation when I was building the building, everybody said it couldn't be done. You don't have enough time. The weather is not right. Oh, folks, I would pray at night. I would pray in the morning. I would pray through the day. The rain would be all around us. It would come to tempt us to get off the building. But it would just come for a few moments. A big gust of wind would blow it, and it was awful. And some of the guys would get down, and I had three guys working with me. They would get down ready to go home, but I stayed up on that building. And in a moment it was all over, and the sun would peek through the clouds. And they would come up, and in an hour or so they would be all dry and warm again. But all around us, we could see the rain. The weather forecast was forecasting rain every day. But we built the building and we did it because God kept the rain away. He answered my prayer. But folks, it's got to be a prayer of faith. If you pray for no rain, then don't take your umbrella. You have the power of prayer. And number four, oh, this is a good one. I like this one. You have the power of praise and worship. Folks, as I worked on that building, I would sing songs of praise. And these men would listen to me. And pretty soon, they were praising God also. In fact, Ellen White said, Jesus met every temptation with a song. It's in her book, That I May Know, on page 185. Let's say it together. I can overcome. All together now. Let's say it together. I can overcome. I can pull down strongholds. And Satan, you have no part in my life in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you today, folks, because there is no weapon that is formed against us that will prosper. We can have deliverance in Christ. Amen. But guard your minds. Guard the children's minds. I've got 9 sermons I'm going to be talking about this. There's some good stuff. But you know, the devil is attacking us at every angle. And I've seen kids that have become so rebellious, the parents have become discouraged, and they've given up on Jesus. Don't do that. We can defeat the devil. Our Father, it is our desire to be sober, to be vigilant, to put on the whole armor of God. We want to guard our minds in Jesus' name. Amen.